married to his wife Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest, someone who devoted his life to God. And Elizabeth was the daughter of a priest. They were a couple that in many aspects should have been blessed. The Bible makes it clear that they were righteous, that they were blameless. They were the kind of people that you would look at and think highly of. The kind of people that go to church every Sunday, that read their Bible every day, that pray constantly, that are compassionate towards others, who love God with all their heart. The kind of people that you would think God would respond to quickly. But there was something wrong. Zechariah's name means God remembers, Yahweh remembers, but when we come into this story, Zechariah, I don't think, is feeling very remembered by God. We're told that Zechariah and Elizabeth are without a child. They have no child. Their hopes of filling a crib with a new young life, now in their old age, have been dashed. Their prayers that I would assume have been going on continually from the time they were married, have been unanswered. It's not because they were bad people. It's not because they had some reason for God to reject them, but I would imagine that in many ways they felt rejected, felt alone, felt cursed. No matter how often they prayed, God remained silent. And from the viewpoint of that culture, they found themselves getting older and older with no hope and no future. No one to take care of them in their old age. No one to carry on the family line. God had remained silent to Zechariah and Elizabeth. The story of this couple, I think, mirrors something else that was going on at the time as well, and that is the hopes and dreams of Israel. Israel as a people, the people of God, had devoted themselves to following. They had devoted themselves to this idea that one day a Messiah would come and establish God's kingdom and that they would be God's people. And it filled their hearts with hope. But at the time of Zechariah, the people of Israel had not heard about the Messiah coming for over 400 years. It had been 400 years since Malachi had prophesied that the Messiah would come. If you think about 400 years from today, it'd be like when the Puritans came and established a colony at Jamestown. Imagine John Winthrop receiving a message that some great person in American history was going to come and make the nation just what God had intended. And then 400 years later, we're still waiting, wondering. This was around the time of Pocahontas, for those of you young ones, around the time that she died. Not the Disney character, but the real Pocahontas. That's a long time ago. 400 years. And in that 400 years, they waited. They were waiting. Waiting for a Messiah to come. Waiting for God to fulfill his promises. Waiting for their prayers to be answered. And they waited through war. They waited through oppression. They waited through political strife. Generation after generation praying that this would be the time when the Messiah would come. But each generation dying and passing on that prayer to the next and the next and the next and the next. Waiting for an answer, but nothing. God was still silent. No response, no Messiah. And just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, it was starting to look for the people of Israel like there was no hope and no future for them. God had abandoned them and forgotten them. We've all been here at one point or another. We think that we've been abandoned. We think that we are alone. We think God doesn't care. He just seems so silent. But one of the amazing things about the Christmas story is that it shows God's silence doesn't mean that he's abandoned us. It doesn't mean that he's rejected us. It doesn't mean that we're hopeless. But in fact, God does still hear us. He is working in our lives, and he does have a plan for us. First, I want to look at God's hearing us, the idea that even when we pray and feel that he is not listening, he is there. We see in the story that Zechariah is a priest again, and he is nearing the time when he gets to go to the temple. This was the highlight of his life, not just his year. This was the highlight of his life, that as a priest, the priests were divided up into groups, and each group served at the temple twice a year. And during that time, there were so many priests that once in a lifetime, a priest would get to go into the temple. You can see the large building in the middle. Go back a slide. The large building, building in the middle is the temple of God. And in that first, as you first enter those doors, you enter the holy place. And there you see the lampstand and the table with the bread of the presence on it and the altar of incense and then a big curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, the place where God dwelled. This was walking into the presence of God. This was an exciting time for Zechariah. As he would go in, he would put incense on the altar. Others would come in and join him and take care of the oil and the lampstand and the bread of the presence, but he would be left alone, time to pray with God in God's presence. And he would put his incense on the altar, and as the aroma filled the room, he would lay down on the floor with his forehead on the ground, laying prostrate, and begin to pray. He'd pray for Israel, pray for the Messiah to come, just as many, many, many had done before. And I can't help but also think that he prayed that God would see him and give him a family. In the midst of his prayers, all of a sudden Zechariah hears a noise and looks up, and there standing by the altar is an angel, Gabriel. Gabriel says to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer." I'd be willing to bet that Zechariah wasn't very confident that God would hear his prayer when he walked into that room. As big a deal as it is, as awe-inspiring as it is, he had been praying the same prayers over and over and over again. But all of a sudden, all of that changed. In a moment, Zechariah realized that God had been listening. God truly did hear him and was ready to respond. Just because God doesn't speak, just because God doesn't act, doesn't mean God isn't listening to the prayers of our heart. Doesn't mean that God doesn't know what we need or when we need it. It simply means he wants us to wait. It simply means that there's more that he wants to reveal. More he wants to teach us. Zechariah was awestruck, dumbfounded. And in fact, we're told that he was a little doubtful even when the angel stood before him. How could God possibly do anything to answer his prayers now? Why not answer them later or earlier? Why not answer them when he really, really could have had something to hold on to, when something could have actually happened? But despite his doubt, he could not deny that God heard him. But God not only hears our prayers, that God is working in our lives. He's working. When he hears us come to him, when we cry out to him, he starts to put plans into motion. Things start to happen, but we just don't see them. We have a phrase for this kind of work. We call it working behind the scenes. We get the phrase from the film industry or the TV industry, this idea of the scene taking place up front, the place where the camera is pointed, and that's what you see. That's what everyone puts their attention on. But behind the scenes, behind the camera, there's a whole bunch of people that have to work to make that scene perfect. The cameraman, the director, the costume designers, the makeup artists, the all sorts of people. From the most detailed of jobs to the most simple of jobs, hundreds are at work behind the scenes to make a movie or a TV show happen. Usually we like to just skip past the credits at the end of the movie. That's when we get up and leave the theater. But if you've ever sat there and watched how many people are involved, it's mind-blowing. The same is true here at church, that what we see up front, the things that are happening in church, only happen because so many of you are working behind the scenes to get it done, to make everything run smoothly, to make everything work. Without you, it would all unravel and fall apart. Working behind the scenes is not less important than working where everyone can see you. In fact, sometimes it's more important. The same is true with God. God is working all the time in your life behind the scenes. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. But it doesn't mean his work that you don't see is unimportant. In fact, it is moving everything in your life towards just what he wants for you, towards giving you the prayers of your heart by giving you just what you need. In Luke 1, 13 through 14, we see this long space of silence will end with a child that in 1, 13 through 14, your wife Elizabeth will give you a son and you are to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Luke 1, 16 through 17, it goes on to say, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah, who prepare the people for the coming of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. I wonder if Zechariah realized that in that moment, he was the one that had been chosen to be used by God, and that choice had been known all the way back from the very beginning. That from the very beginning, when we open the Bible in Genesis, as we read through the stories of Moses, of David, of the kings, of the exile, all those things were working to prepare the world for the Messiah, and that when Zechariah was picked as the one who would be the father of John the Baptist, the one who would proclaim that the Messiah was coming, he was part of this long, long, long plan of God working behind the scenes to make it happen. I don't think there's any way that Zechariah could have fully comprehended all that God had done to get to that point. But yet, God was working to answer the prayers of Zechariah's heart, both his personal prayers for a family and his corporate prayers for a Messiah. God is working in your life. You may not see it. You may wonder if what he's doing is important, but it is. Because God has a plan. And that's our last point, that God has a plan for us. He has a plan for this world. He has a plan that he is working out. He's not just working aimlessly. He's not just trying to piece things together here and there, but he is bringing everything together for his purpose and according to his plan. And for that reason, sometimes silence is necessary. Most of us have a fairly narrow understanding of life. No, all of us have a fairly narrow understanding of life. We see the small picture. We see how life impacts me. We have like the 4x6 on our wall. But God sees the whole poster. He sees the whole picture, the whole world, how everything fits in together. How it all comes together and comes together according to his plan and leads this world forward in the way that he desires. You've all probably heard it said, be careful what you wish for. And the idea behind that phrase is that we don't always wish for what's best for us. We might think we do. We might think it's what's best for us, but if we really got what we wanted, it might lead to exactly the opposite of what we were hoping for. Same is true sometimes with our prayers. When we pray, our desire is to pray in God's will. That when we pray, that we would be praying for what he desires, what his plan is. But sometimes our prayers are not in line with that. Sometimes if we got what we wanted when we wanted it, it would screw everything else up. Think about Zechariah and Elizabeth. If they would have gotten a child when they wanted it, shortly after they were married, that would have impacted their child's ability to proclaim the coming of Jesus, who wouldn't have been born for another many, many years. It would have led to people being unreceptive to John's message, to being less and less interested in one more person coming and saying that the Messiah is here. It would have cast doubt on whether John was actually from God or whether he was just like everyone else. But by waiting, all of a sudden, God takes Zechariah and Elizabeth to a place where they're pregnancy could only be a miracle, could only be something that God could do. And so that by waiting, God receives the glory. John is validated, his ministry is validated. He's perfectly placed to usher in the coming of Jesus. All these things because God waited until the time was right, instead of giving Zechariah and Elizabeth what they wanted when they wanted it. Think about the Israelites with the Messiah. If they would have gotten the Messiah when they wanted to, they would have gotten the Messiah 4 years or 400 years earlier, or maybe 1,000 years earlier. And that would have been great for them. And they would have gotten a Messiah for Israel. But God had a bigger plan. He said, I want a Messiah for the whole world. I want a Messiah that can draw in the Gentiles, that can draw in others. And so we waited until the time was right so that his plan could be completed on the big scale, the big picture, rather than just this narrow focus of what his people wanted for them. There's this huge element of trust when it comes to understanding God's work in our lives, that we trust him knowing that he knows what's best. And he has bigger plans than we have. This isn't always easy. It doesn't always mean that things work out the way we want them to. But ultimately, it says, God, you are bigger than me. You know more than me. And so I'll defer to you. We see in Luke 1:20 Gabriel says to Zechariah, who doubted whether God could do what he had said, and he says, "But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Not on your schedule, Zechariah. On my schedule. Not when you think it's right. Not when you say what you need to say, but when I say what I need to say. When I make this happen. When we look at the Christmas story, we're reminded that baby born in a manger, that Christ child, and the one who was born before him, John the Baptist, were answers to prayers that had been prayed for generations. Generations. When we look at them, we see proof that God keeps his promise, that God has a plan for us, that God is at work in our world, and that God hears us and knows what we need when we need it and is there to give it. You may feel ignored this Christmas. You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned by God. But know that it is just a feeling and it is not reality. That God is at work in your life because he hears you, he knows you, and he has a plan for you. Trust him and see what he will do. See how much greater his plan is than yours. And see how he will be glorified when the time comes to answer. Father, we thank you that you care about us enough to listen. But yet you care about us enough to not give us what we want right when we want it. Lord, we don't know your purposes all the time. We don't always know how you're working. We don't always know your plan. But help us cling to that idea that you love us, that we're your children. Help us remember that you are God who keeps your promises, no matter how long it takes. Lord, this Christmas we pray that we cling to that and that we look to your Son in that manger and remember that our prayers are heard by you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.